This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group C-Suite Reports Business Leadership Podcast. Thrilled today to have with me a special guest, founder of his own law firm who specializes in immigration law, and overall a really good and really interesting person, Rich Haynes. Rich, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Hi, Scott. Thank you for that nice introduction. I'm Rich Haynes, and I'm an immigration attorney in Chicago. I've been doing this for about 27 years. Focusing exclusively on immigration law with clientele in the corporate world and then in the on the individual side as well.
And how did you get into that area of practice? What drew you to that? How did you get started there?
Well, like a lot of folks coming out of school, I did have the privilege of wondering what I would do, thinking about it, and really taking an inventory of my motivations. And one of them were just a sense of wanting to be an advocate and to help people. And I knew some people in this area who were practicing, although it was not a very well-known field. In fact, not only was it not very well-known, it was probably thought of as the least prestigious field of law one could get into. So in learning more about the field and learning about the role of a lawyer as representing companies, individuals, defending people in deportation proceedings, the more I realized this is actually something very appropriate and well-suited for my interests. And then ultimately, it was a very the opportunity to start my own practice in this field just all kind of unfolded during within about a two-year period after law school. So that's an explanation of my background with that area of law. And then ultimately, it's an area of law that I've only practiced on my own working for myself.
And how hard was it? Was it scary to start your own practice? What was that like? I mean, that's people seem not to do that today, though more should. What was that like when you started your own practice?
So, you know, my influences in my life are people that have worked for themselves. And so the idea of being your own boss, starting something, was never anything that was abnormal or new. And, you know, several voices were always presenting themselves to me. You know, I have two very successful brothers who work for themselves. And there was always this question that you ask yourself, you know, what's the worst that can happen? So assuming you have the motivation and assuming this is the lifestyle you want, what's the worst that can happen? You fail, and you could always go work for someone. So if one of your overriding goals was to sort of have your own, be in charge of your own path to the extent, you know, when you work for yourself to the degree that you do have control, if that's a motivation and that you want to not be tied to, say, the politics of a larger organization, you know, maybe it's my own very individual idiosyncratic way of being myself that kind of forced me to be my own boss. But those are all things that I think came together for the experience of starting my own practice not being a scary one. And in fact, it was exciting. And, you know, let's face it, it's liberating for all those who have started their own businesses, their own practices. You know, in the end, you know that your loyalty will be rewarded because it's to your own organization, and you're mainly in control of your fate.
That's fantastic. And what's the practice of law like today in the practice of immigration? Harder or easier under the Trump administration versus the Obama administration, or largely the same? Any thoughts on that?
So the overall, I can say it's much more difficult. The way this administration is applying and interpreting the law, there are so many more obstacles to get from A to B. And, you know, let's say on the employment based side for helping companies recruit and keep foreign national workers, there are so many things so many wrenches in the system of extending people's statuses or converting their status from temporary to permanent that has made it much more difficult. Similar in, on the individual side of things when it comes to families being reunited with family members, keeping family here. And there is what they say, some have called an invisible wall, and it includes also delays. And so in trying to help clients manage all of the different problems that they're having, whether it's in a workplace or whether when it's within a family situation, it's just been a bit more of a challenge. And even in fact, the circumstances are such that they invite lawyers to sue the government more often, to seek a judicial intervention to try to cure what the system is producing, and to try to, you know, sometimes achieving the results that you used to take for granted years ago, it's no longer as predictable.
Fascinating. So it's just a lot of little things in the interpretations of the law, sort of what you call the invisible wall, that have just made the whole immigration process a lot tougher on a lot of different levels, even though sort of the number of total deportations are no different under this administration than under the Obama administration. The entire process has gotten more confrontational and tougher. Is that a fair assessment, Rich, of how you see it?
Right. So what I described earlier was a lot of what goes on the administrative side of processing paper, pushing the paper, and overcoming regulatory, statutory barriers, standards of proof. There is another side to immigration law, which I am also very involved in, is in defending folks in deportation proceedings and also representing companies in the context of workplace enforcement and inspection. And I can say this. You know, law enforcement was quite active when it came to those areas under Obama, a little less so on the workplace enforcement, or actually even significantly less so. But the numbers of people getting deported, being placed in proceedings, Obama's numbers match up to this administration's, although what I can say is that the enforcement side of things is much louder and heavier and scarier. And by that, I mean, I think what used to go on with a lot less fanfare in terms of announcements and, dare I say, politicization, that, you know, this administration has, you know, ran on a platform and on a message about immigration being a problem, or at least illegal immigration. And I think that has been a go-to bread and butter issue for this administration about what's wrong with society. And unfortunately, with that has come a bit of a demonization, dehumanizing on just the immigrant in general. Now, it's not to say that immigrant applicants aren't given a fair shake and folks in deportation aren't given a fair shake, but the overall atmosphere, there's a heaviness and a loudness to it. And, you know, I think there's an outsized, exaggerated importance placed on immigration compared to so many of the other things going on in our society. All of a sudden, what I do is so interesting to people, and people want to talk about it, and what's going on at the border, which, by the way, has, you know, not a ton of what doesn't have a lot to do with what I do day to day, but in relation to asylum law and whatnot. But overall, the importance of immigration has just found a very outsized existence in our national conversation today.
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, and what you say is so interesting, because the numbers show less deportations under this administration than Obama, a lot less than under Clinton, but yet the politicization of it by the Trump administration, or in general by the media, makes it an outsized part of the conversation. And what you've said is fascinating, that, you know, that Obama and Clinton might have quietly done as many deportation removals, but they didn't make just such a demonizing issue and such a big issue, so it didn't play the same way. And it's fascinating, because it's not like there's more effectiveness, but there is a lot more noise, and it's a fascinating sort of dynamic that you have going on. In terms of, you, I mean, you're a business founder, you're a professional leader. Some of your best advice for leaders and professionals or business founders, some of your best advice, what do you tell people that are trying to found their own business, run their own business?
Well, one thing I just want to add, and I'm going to get to your question, and that is not every change and not more robust enforcement is always bad, and there can be improvements. It's just about the volume, the noise being made. and more robust or even stricter enforcement isn't always a problem. It's about the manner. And that's just something else, because I do want to, there is fairness that goes on day to day in the courts where I am representing folks. And ultimately, just because more emphasis is placed on an area doesn't make it bad. But it's all about levels. It's all about what's reasonable. Now, you were asking me, though, about the business of immigration. Can you repeat that question, Scott? I just had to add that
No, I appreciate that very, very much. And, Rich, sort of your best advice for business leaders, business founders, because in addition to an immigration lawyer, you're a business founder, a business operator, plus you work with business leaders. Any sort of core thoughts on best advice for business leadership?
Okay, number one, it would be to truly embrace the area of expertise that you are working in, the area of whether it's in healthcare, whether it's an area of law, whether it's in manufacturing. I think it is to truly embrace the identity as an expert and someone who represents a level of knowledge, a level of care about what you're doing, so that everybody around you can rally in saying, oh my goodness, this person knows this much about this area, and just as important, they care about providing that service, providing that product. And just, I think that in what I do, and after getting good at what I do, and learning that I didn't want to get good at something I didn't like, I realized that once you embrace that area of expertise, you strive to learn as much as possible, and you strive to deliver a level of service that no one can beat, everything flows from there. Respect, reputation, and your success as a business person, and of course as a leader, as someone people want to look to as an example.
So really, two thoughts that come out of what you say. It's one is embrace what you're great at in your specialty and be absolutely great at it. Make the effort to be magnificent, your own specialty. In your case, it happens to be immigration law. And then the second thing I hear you say is great customer service, great professionalism. And really, if you do those two things, be absolutely great. Embrace greatness in what you do. Don't pretend. Actually be great at it and embrace customer service, that you're likely to do pretty well. That those would be at least the two core pieces of your advice for people.
Absolutely. And if somebody ever says to me, say, for example, are there too many lawyers in doing blah, blah, and blah? And, in general, the answer is always going to be, of course, there's so many doing this, so many doing that. But there are never too many kick-ass lawyers. There are never too many kick-ass professionals and leaders doing what they're doing, because with giving that level of service, with having that level of expertise, you won't fail.
And that's fantastic. And I think it's such fascinating advice. And it's similar to something else somebody said today, is that you're in this world where there's so many of everything. And so you can't get discouraged by it, but you do have to choose that you're going to be great at what you do, because there's so much of everything, it seems like. So you really have to choose to be great at whatever you're going to do. Rich, just
absolutely
a pleasure visiting with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let me ask you, no, just fantastic. And one sort of final question. If somebody wants to learn more about you or reach Rich Haynes, how do they reach you? Whether a company's looking to hire you or an individual's looking to hire you, or people just want your advice or guidance or thoughts, how do people reach Rich Haynes?
So Google Richard Haynes. I'm the one with the baldest head on the images. And the website is USA Visa Council, like a lawyer, counsel.com, USA Visa Council. And my phone number is 312-357-0033. And I would say those are the best ways.
That's fantastic. And just for people's knowledge, the spelling of Haynes, Richard, H-A-N-U-S, H-A-N-U-S. Rich, H-A-N-U-S. Just a pleasure visiting you. I've known you forever. You're just fantastic. It really is just a great pleasure to visit with you today. Thank you so much.
Scott, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you.